Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Danny Katz. Today I am joined by Pola Pratt. She is a bad ass who is doing amazing things in the realms of ozone therapy, somatic experiencing, systems development, creating the new earth, the parallel economies, all of those things. I'm telling you, Pola is a powerhouse. From the second I met her, I was like, wow, who is this woman? I want her to be my friend. I want her to be my collaborator. And I sure as hell want her on my podcast. Today is the day that I got to sit down with Miss Pola Pratt and interview her on all things ozone, somatic, new paradigm, new earth, etc., etc. Before we dive in, I am reminding you to click that subscribe button, to like, to share, to comment. Send this podcast to a friend. The more, the merriest. I'm also reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at dannykatz.com. It's the best way that we can stay in touch. It's also the best way for you to stay apprised of my every next course, webinar, live event, book drop, exciting collaboration. All of that is going to come through dannykatz.com. I think that does it for housekeeping. I am inviting you to buckle up, maybe make yourself a nice cozy beverage, and prepare to enjoy my conversation with Pola Pratt. Pola Pratt, welcome. Welcome to the Word Up podcast. We're so happy to have you here. How are you?
I'm doing great, Danny. I'm so excited to be here with you today. Thank you for having me.
Of course, the feeling is mutual. I've had a non-sexual girl crush on you since the second I saw you at Confluence and we were in that leadership meeting. And right away, you're like, you know what? I think it's going to go better if we just kind of popcorn around. And I was like, oh, I love this woman. I love how she takes charge. You're clearly like have so much agency and so much mojo. And that was before I knew about your ozone thing. And we got to talk about somatic semantics. And so I'm excited for us to just get to play together today.
Hey, I'd like to say ditto. My gosh, I got a girl crush on you too. I hadn't told you that. And you know, your gap tooth, your smile, your love. Oh my gosh, you're just beaming. And when I saw you at Music and Sky, I was like, damn, this girl's got it going on. Oh my gosh. Wow. Upgrade after upgrade after upgrade. Your Word Up. This is so powerful for this world. And I love what was happening at Music and Sky, the whole semantics.
Exactly.
And which is totally your thing, right?
Yeah.
And somatics, which is so my thing. Oh my gosh. Right. Right. So the semantics and somatics seem like they are the two most important and essential reframes and areas to pay attention to as we trailblaze the transition into the new free world that's destined to be created.
Yes. Yes. And we're leading the charge. I'm so grateful to be on the front lines with you. And well, let's talk about somatics. Let's start with somatics and how you got into that. I mean, the way that you talk about things, I can tell you're operating on, you know, I don't want to say more dimensions than other people because I don't like comparison, but you're obviously accessing a lot of expanded knowledge. So talk to me a little bit about your path and how you honed in on the importance of somatics.
Wow. Well, great, great question. I got into somatics because I grew up, let me just start where I believe that self-healing starts. And I believe that self-healing starts before we even incarnate, that our souls create soul contracts for all of our major life traumas and events and relationships before we come in, so that when we come in, we can learn, grow, and evolve the most. So I contracted with parents that would, you know, start, give me some early material to work with. Let's just put it that way, right? Start in on me as early as you possibly can, so that in infancy, really, and so that I can spend my whole life plumbing my brainstem and purging my traumas and purifying myself so I can pave new paradigms in the present moment, which is happening right now, this major bifurcation that we're in. I feel so perfectly prepared in some ways, and then and then what's coming also, like, oh my gosh. But I feel like I've been training for this my whole life. So I signed up for early trauma, and then in my mid to late 20s, I started finding somatics, and I started finding, I was looking at ways to heal myself. And I'd been in psychotherapy, and it was just like kind of going nowhere. We were just sitting on top of the up of the brain. It was like nothing was really happening. And then I had a friend who, and a colleague who was teaching or into somatic experiencing, which is taught by Peter Levine. And so it's like, you know, waking the tiger. If you don't flight or fight, then you freeze. Well, I had a ton of freeze in my nervous system. And so what I've learned, I took this 3-year training program, and then assisted the trainings for another 4 years, and helped to train other doctors and nurses and psychotherapists and whatnot. So really got into it. And then just like my somatic, you know, I got into continuum movement, which is a body-based inquiry, exploration, and discovery of, you know, what we are and how we are, and that we really are a living anthropology of all life form that exists. And so that was really fascinating and interesting to me. And then I found my master's degree in whole systems design. I was looking for language to articulate what was happening with continuum and what was happening with somatic experiencing. What was the language of the body is different than the language of the upper brain, you know, the what we've been taught in school, that's in dictionaries. So when we go to translate that, we're really hooking our upper brain to our lower brain, and then having this biological body-based conversation with our autonomic nervous system, you know, through our felt, sense, present moment experience. And that's how we heal, is really by this combination, this, but using the 1 to 4% that we're conscious of, and hooking that up with the 95 to 99% that's subconscious, pre-programmed and hardwired, where the trauma is, where the self-healing capacities are. And so finding new language for that, I went to this master's degree. And so I started learning that in a whole, I got my master's in whole systems design, right? And so what I was learning was that there was like, oh, how could I know whole systems design if I don't know about ecology? How would I be a good whole systems designer if I don't know about public policy? How would I be a whole, you know, if I don't know about living systems principles or quantum sciences? And so I just started going down all of these rabbit holes, was a voracious learner. So my language now is filled with being articulate and true to various different disciplines, all at the same time in a different conversation. So I really want to communicate in ways that people understand, and not too far out there and too specific to, you know, too true to like all of these things. So I'm really looking forward to unpacking the semantics with you so that we can help as many people cross the bridge, all those bridges that we need to cross into our own self-sufficiency and self-empowerment.
I love that. I think you just shattered at least half a dozen paradigms in what you were just speaking about in terms of self-responsibility, in terms of interconnectedness. So I want to move slowly. When you talk about whole systems design, was that like a health and wellness program? Is that like a social sciences?
You know, it's an interdisciplinary, great question, interdisciplinary design degree. And because I was bringing somatics in, and that was my main focus, was how we heal. And that unless we're having this whole brain, whole person conversation, it's not whole systems design. In whole systems design, like I couldn't believe it. There was no somatics in the program. And I went to the, you know, to the curriculum, to the director, the program, and I said, how can this be whole systems design if you don't have somatics, if you're not including the body? And they're like, well, it was all in the head,
Right.
This is we're coming out of the industrial revolution, which is the mechanization and industrialization of the human body and mind. And so we're really moving into the age of Aquarius and into intuition, and where we're really needing a whole brain, whole person, whole connection with the celestial bodies, the earth body, and the flesh body, all one whole system working together. You can't separate these things. So we're leaving atomic science, which is based in separatism and Newtonian physics. And we're leaving, and even germ theory is another, thing, because it separates. It's based in atomic science, it's based in killing, it's based in that one to four, it's based in that germs don't cause, that germs cause disease and we want to kill them. It's part of the war metaphor. It's part of the dead entropic universe where everything is spiraling into lower forms of function. Everything is destruction and decay and death. And it's a run for resources because we're all going to die anyways. Let's just get what we can. That's just like the old paradigm. And so this whole new paradigm is a conscious living universe where everything is alive and connected and spiraling into higher levels of consciousness and coherency and creativity and life form. So we're really just in these big bifurcations, and they're happening everywhere.
I just love you so much. So
I love you so much too. This is so fun to be here with you.
so you challenged the director of the whole systems design program asking why is somatics not a part of this? Had you already been building up your body-based intelligence by that point? Were you able to integrate that into what you are learning, like in the program itself, or were you bringing all these things together separately?
Great question. Wow. That was back in 1998. And I think what I was doing was just trying to find language, because there wasn't any language to support a holistic models of any kind, really. And then there's science. And now I'm, there's so much science that's wrong. And I'm learning more and more a lot of science that's wrong. Evolutionary theory, got to look at that one. Germ theory, oh wow, yeah, the world is divided on that one. Atomic science, right? Stephen Hawking's black holes, wow. I mean, it's just thing after thing after thing, and we're really, needing to reframe everything into alchemical terms. And there's just so many. I didn't know going in what I was doing, but as I got into it, I was also I had this vision when I was undulating on the floor one day and doing my somatics, and I had this vision of wiring the mainstream economy together, on a worldwide scale. And I'll just back up and say that, because I think there's a lot of people, at least 20% of the population will understand that I come from what is in trauma called a global high intensity activation pattern. And it just means that early in the development of the system, it's like if you take a thin sheet of glass and you drop it from a high building and it hits the ground, bam, it's going to shatter into tiny little pieces. And this is what happens in a global high intensity activation traumatic pattern, is early in the life of the organism, there is a high impact or repeated high impacts of trauma, and it splits, it dissociates, disorganizes the system. So the system becomes very dysfunctional. And the rest of the life of that organism, it's going to be working to pull the pieces together back into a conscious, coherent whole. So it's no mistake. But what is that I got into a master's in whole systems design, and that my whole life's work is about trying to pull the pieces together and how to learn to self-regulate, right? And learn to co-regulate and learn to consciously collaborate, which are these process system models, premise, process, and outcome, that these foundations that I made and built for economic development and organizational development, community development platforms. So that, and that's what I'm the teacher teaching what I need to learn the most. But there's a lot of energy in a global high intensity activation pattern. It's global, meaning it's everywhere. The energy just splats out everywhere. So these systems have a high capacity to see the big, the whole, the big picture, but they're going to struggle their whole life because they're going to see the big picture, but then how do they achieve what they're able to see? How do they integrate, and how do they pull their self into a coherent whole to make change happen, to facilitate that change? So that's what my whole life has really been about. And I'm sure that there's other people out there that understand what I'm talking about. And you're not alone. These are some of the visionaries. But it's all just it's a lot of inner work. And we have to, work for every ounce of resiliency that we have.
I want to acknowledge the nuance attunement of your languaging, and I'm just very inspired by there's no victim consciousness in talking about your experiences, and I know that that is not by accident, right? That takes quite a lot of work and presence. So I really want to honor that. And there were a few things that you said. I love the correlations you're making between, like germ theory and then the military industrial complex, right? And this larger narrative we're hearing that humans are a blight upon nature, as though we're not part of nature, as though we're something separate. And we can see in the past several decades, we've come so far in terms of like psychotherapy and bringing awareness to trauma and the psycho-emotional body. But what I love about what you're saying is like it's in the body. It's like I can attune myself to traumas, to shadow patterns on an intellectual level, and I can even do inner child work around that. But until I actually work with the physical body, where it's stored in the physical body, clearing that out of my nervous system, in my experience, I'm not going to liberate myself from that. And I've noticed even in the holistic world or the naturopath world, like I was speaking to one of my naturopaths and was saying like I could feel my liver fluttering. I could feel that my liver was unhappy. And he was like, "Well, how do you know that? How do you feel that?" And just even seeing his own doubt that I had that type of connection with my own body because humanity has not yet been encouraged to go inside of ourselves and grow that intelligence. So I just appreciate what you're doing, and I'm excited for people to like it seems like so much of the indoctrination has us, of course, reaching outward for like permission and validation and these doctors in white coats to tell us about our bodies versus like how can we get more in tune with our own inner landscape. How do you guide people through that?
Through body-based inquiry, exploration, and discovery. In almost all the classes that I teach, and mostly I'm teaching right now in ozone therapy and superpowered self-healing, when people, students ask me a question, I answer with questions, with body-based questions. It's how we become our own best doctor, is by learning ourselves from the inside out. The better we can track our own autonomic systems, the better we can track all other living systems. If it's in the business world, this used to teach this in the business world, then we can track our competitors and funders and markets and employees. If we're in a family system, then we can track our loved ones, our children, our husbands, our spouses, our relatives. And the better that we can track, the better we can sense, the better we can respond, the more response able we are. The better we're able to respond in the present moment to what is going on. And it's through this self-regulative capacity, and through our ability to co-regulate, which is two or more people in the present moment self-regulated, that we can consciously collaborate, that is, create the new free world that is destined to be created free of the past. Because when we start to get triggered, then at any level of trigger, that's dissociation, disorganization, and dysfunction in the nervous system. When we just bring that old world into the new world. So I've done some a little bit of work with Music and Sky and some other communities locally and in different parts of the world, teaching them this whole model of self-regulation, co-regulation, and conscious collaboration, and recognizing our triggers and recognizing when our somatic sequence is what happens in our bodies first, second, and third when we're triggered. The better we know that, the better we're going to be able to self-regulate when it happens. So it's just like teaching basic skills, which seem to be happening. More and more people are aware of their trauma as the vibration is rising in the earth realm, and all these astrological changes are happening just as predestined to happen. And there's this race to the bottom of the brainstem with big tech, with AI. It's perfectly parallel process and predestined to help to push the humans to go down their brainstem, right? To purge their traumas, to pave new paradigms in the present moment, to purify themselves. But just what I signed up for. That's why I can see the race to the bottom of the brainstem. They're getting us with the phones, and they're getting us with all of these, like ARPA, DARPA. I mean, they are pushing on all levels, and they're co-opting a lot of people. But the people like yourself and myself who are aware of what's going on, we know that the game is to master ourselves, master our meat suits, and gain full sovereignty, full self-control. So if we don't regulate our nervous system, we don't regulate ourselves, the cops will, or the government will, somebody else will. So self-regulation is key to the story. Somatic self-regulation, right?
I have multiple questions. Like, I'm curious to know how this work is received in the business world, which is such a masculine paradigm. You mentioned, first, second, third responses. Is it just as simple as noticing, like, what part of my body gets lit up first, or is there more to it?
Yeah, no, that's it. So for anybody listening right now, your somatic sequence, if you can sit and slack and relax and get yourself into a safe, calm place. You want to do this right now?
I do.
Okay, great. Let's do it. Okay, so let's just do a quick sit and slack, feeling your feet on the ground. Just noticing what you notice in your feet. What sensations do you notice on your feet?
I notice some tingling in my left big toe. I notice my sock is scrunched up in the ball of my foot, so it's a little activated. I
Great.
notice a little moisture.
Wow, you're super smart, super sensitive. You got that. Great. So you got all that. We're just gonna go kind of quickly through this so we can cover some territory, right? 'Cause, and you're getting it. So you feel on your feet on the ground. How easy or how hard is it to feel your feet on the ground and your butt in the chair at the same time?
Easy.
Excellent. What are the sensations of your butt in the chair?
The left side has like a low grade inflammation. I wish that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
I'm noticing warmth. I'm noticing a low grade dull ache on the right side.
Wow. Super tuned, super tuned. Is there anything you can do to readjust yourself so that you're more comfortable in the chair?
Yes. I just shifted my hips. That did it.
Great. Awesome. It's amazing we tend to our bodies, right?
Right.
Yeah. So you got your feet, your seat. Now I invite you to slack your jaw, let your tongue hang, and let your eyes go slack, peripheral. Or if they're shut, go slack behind the socket. So it's like this, sit and slack.
Like our president.
Yeah. Sit and slack. I'll tell you, their nervous system isn't slack. So you got your feet, your seat, slack jaw, soft eyes, soft tongue. Now, can you think of a resource? So a person, place, pet, food, anything where you feel safe and comfortable in your body?
The Rio Grande.
Great. And what happens in your body when you notice the Rio Grande?
It's like all my cells go, oh.
Beautiful. So you're somatically resourcing here. Now I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you just to notice what happens best you can, first, second, and third in your nervous system. Okay. Stay in slack. And if you can think of a mild to medium trigger, not a trauma, but just a trigger, something may happen in your happening in your life right now, something triggering. And what happens first, second, and third in your body best you can when you think of that trigger?
My chest tightens. There's heat rising into my head.
Yeah.
My stomach feels like it's in a knot.
Yeah. Great noticing. Okay. So chest, heat rising, stomach. Yeah. Now see if you can go back to your feet, see slack jaw, soft eyes, soft tongue, and go back to the Rio Grande and tell me how easy or how hard is it to get back to the Rio Grande? Rio Grande.
It's easy.
Excellent. You got some great resiliency and super somatically smart. So you just named like this is you typically, I mean, different contexts and conditions can yield different levels of trigger and different kinds of trigger. But for the most part, when we survey ourselves, we get to know our trigger sequence: chest, heat, gut. And if you start to think about various different triggers, you're going to find that those are areas that are going to light up and oftentimes in the same sequence. So the better that we get to know what happens in our body when we get triggered, the quicker we're going to be able to recognize it. And so that we can begin to go back to ourselves, think of a resource. That's the antithetical chemistry. So, and how we can move from a resource to a trigger, that's resiliency. That's the level of net resiliency that there is available in that system at that time. And it shows us some feedback loops about how we're doing with it. You know, we can make better decisions about how much we take on or not take on in any. So really just living a more a savvy life of how much can we do and take on and still stay responsible. Able to respond in the present moment so that we are creating a new free world and we aren't just recreating the old slave world, which is where something outside of us, these mechanisms that are no, we have not reclaimed these mechanisms inside of us. I mean, everybody's doing this work.
Yeah.
It's, but the more that we adapt and adopt to this work into our families and into our personal relationships and our social relationships and our organizations and our businesses and our societies and our regions, and that we can make agreements around what happens when we get triggered. Then we can make these core agreements, and then we can, right, there's the whole autonomics that's going on that we can take responsibility for and design into our contracts. And I've got an upcoming course on conscious contracting, and it's all about this and how to do this and how to somatically do it and how to write it into our agreements on paper.
You're such a cornucopia. Okay, so conscious contracting, and then I want to go back to the nervous system. Is that for relationships? Is that in terms of business agreements? Is that the whole shebang?
It's at the base of everything. Self-regulation is self-responsibility. When we are able to stay self-regulated, that is our ability to respond in the moment. The better we are able to respond in any given moment, the more response able we are, right? And so that's in all of our relations. So I created these first self-regulation, co-regulation, and conscious collaboration as a premise, process, and outcome in these large-scale economic development, regional economic development projects that I was working on. And I use somatics, nonlinear asymmetrical breath movement and sound to shake up the status quo, right? And there's like a whole body of work on that. But what I realized back in 25 years ago when I was a pioneer in cluster economic development, which is really the fastest growing economic development methodology on the planet, or in the world, it's building the public-private collaboration, right? And so what I realized after 6 years was I was helping to accelerate the growth of the merging of the money, power, policy, and leadership into one centralized force. That's what's, I can see, oh shit, this is what's gonna bring, this is top-down tyranny. One centralized force that's gonna crush us economically and in all ways. And I could see that. I went into a long, basically suicidal depression in early 2000, and it was through somatics and ozone, oxygen, and somatic trauma work that I was able to reclaim myself and see that I didn't want to help to build these systems. But now I know it's local living economies, and I'm translating all of that work into it's what's called the Trailblazing the Transition Regional Parallel Systems Development. So I've got six modules in that training. The conscious contracting is the third module. And so I've got two more to go after that. And then teaching, sharing how regions can launch their own parallel systems based in living systems principles, somatics, and natural law, and correcting our status out of leaving, not being 14th Amendment US citizens, and moving into becoming American nationals or resident aliens or however you want to call it. We need to make that transition, build our parallel economies and social systems, bartering systems. We need all new systems now as we are leaving the old slave world that is getting crushed and is getting captured and controlled and killed off.
Amen. I just got a chill when you said that.
Well, killing, yeah, the killing thing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So a big part of my work, and especially my recent work, is balancing the masculine feminine energetics and helping people understand it really doesn't have anything to do with the genitals of those in positions of power. It has to do with how we are approaching each other, how we are approaching things. And what I love about what you're talking about is you're talking about completely restructuring these systems, and bringing in the somatic seems to be really bringing in the feminine, right? Like that is so front and center of what you're bringing in. Is that masculine feminine kind of framing part of how you work, or is that just kind of my interpretation of what you're doing?
That is a great question and a great offering. And I don't specifically do that. I have not done that, but that's part of it for sure. We're moving into the age of Aquarius, into the age of intuition. We have the capacity to know anything, anywhere, anytime about anyone. People are afraid of their privacy. Hey, you don't worry about your cell phone spying on you when there's people like me that have been plumbing our brain stems, and we know how to remote view, and we have Akashic connection, and we have connection with a higher level of consciousness. And we are learning as a species to know all these things. This is what I call organic transhumanism. It's the separate from the synthetic, transhumanism. Very different. Well, we reclaim that whole brainstem and that whole biocosmic conductivity so that it's like sacred singularity. Yes, it is the feminine and the masculine coming together. The celestial bodies, the earth body, and the flesh body are all one whole system. And as we understand that and we begin to embrace that, and we understand that we are just a conduit for the biggest, the most vast conversation, the most co-creative conversation that's going on, but 95 to 99% is subconscious, pre-programmed, and hardwired. So we're left in the dark of this most important, all creative conversation. So the somatics is the link, and our ability to stay fluid and soft is our ability to receive through our hearts. And we make this transition through unconditional love. And that's not patriarchal, that's not masculine. Love is fluidity in its core. It's the antithesis of fear. Again, the bifurcation, fear, love, germ theory, bioterrain, whole conscious universe, living conscious universe, dead entropic universe. Just like it's just all of these bifurcations. We're leaving the patriarchy and we're moving into, a feminine world. worldview, way of life, and way of being, relating and co-creating.
Yeah. I mean, I've been calling it betterarchy just as shorthand. And for me, because when I was in Los Angeles, I would see women wearing these shirts that say the future is female. And I would get mildly triggered. I didn't yet have your paradigm of recognizing the triggers, but for me it was like, no, the future is integrated. Like it's not one or the other. It's both of us working in coherent harmony to optimize ourselves and this planet. And that's why I love that you're bringing this work into realms of economic development, of redesigning whole systems, but bringing the feminine in, but not in some like, bullshit, beloved-y, decked out in purple chiffon kind of fake new age, shallow way, but in like a real deal way. How is your work embraced by people in like a standard issue business paradigm?
You got to sneak it in. Great question. That is the, million dollar question. The trillion dollar question is not what we need to do to bring in the new free world. The trillion dollar question is how. In any development process, the trillion dollar question is how. And it's a blend of that masculine and feminine. It's a blend of I use a piece of science to enter the left brain. And then I, pose a question. Well, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Do you want to do the same thing or you want to create something new? Oh, everybody wants to create something new. So then they consent to doing some kind of somatic process. And then I give them some movement. One of the ways is like I give them a big movement parameter. Let's see. All right, everybody. So when we move in a nonlinear way, we implode the system with new neural information. And so I'll get up in front of a bunch of public and private sector leaders. These are who are running the rural city, state, or country that we are working with, whatever level of the project we are on, and then give them this menu of movement, right? And then I can see who the new leaders are in the new paradigm and who the old ones are, and they're never the same, because the ones that are willing, that are safe enough inside themselves to take the risk and express their full capacity. They're going to have their heart, their hands open, their heart out. They're going to be down low. They're going to be up high. They're going to have a range of movement. They're not going to be afraid of what other people are thinking about them. And they're the ones that are creating the movement. The ones that are stuck in the hierarchy are the ones that are holding onto their power that won't be seen doing something like that. Right? So we can see within a minute or 2 minutes with a new industry working group, a new cluster or a new industry working group for that city, state, or country. However, we can look at there's 100 of them out there, 200 of them out there. We can see the parameter of movement within, as facilitators, within moments, within minutes, like, oh, wow, like aerospace in North Dakota. Right, they would sat in this little U shape and they were like, nobody was moving. I said, this has got huge implications that you guys are stuck in so much status quo that none of you are even willing to move. You're not even, there's no movement. There will be no movement. You will not, nothing will happen in this development process in the next couple of years. Nothing happened. So when we went to agriculture, whenever in all the different agricultural industries that I worked with in different regions, they were the closest to the earth. They were the farmers. They were the ones that had more movement. They were the ones that innovated for their region. They had more capacity. They were more willing to take risks. They were also working with natural systems, which are inherently self-organizing and somatically self-governing and self-sustaining and self-making and self-empowered.
What
So,
do you mean by somatically self-governing?
self-regulating, co-regulating, and consciously collaborating, self-governing. When I govern myself, I am my own best leader. We are our own best leaders. We have to first learn how to regulate our own system. That's self-leadership 101. And that's not being taught. If I would have been taught these skills when I was younger, my whole life would have been different. They don't want us to know that. I got kicked out of several meetings because the leaders in that industry were like, no, we don't want a bottom-up groundswell movement of self-organizing initiatives. I want to control this whole thing.
Right.
So they were like, "You, Pola, out of here. Get that movement shit out of here. You're not." And so I got to sit back and watch the show. I was still there. I learned so much in watching the circus of this perpetual industrial cog in the wheel that just goes round and around. It has no new movement, no neural capacity, nothing new. Status quo stays stuck. The deeper the level of subconscious somatic safety in a leader, the more chaos they're going to be able to hold, and the more self-organization they're going to be able to inherently facilitate by holding the space and holding that trust in the system, to the people in the system that they are leading to self-organize. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And I'm having all these ahas right now. And it's interesting how everything comes together at the same time. I do a podcast with my friend Emily Moyer. We were both gymnasts together. And she recently
Too.
discovered, oh, really?
Yeah, I grew up a competitive gymnast. Yes, I love gymnastics. It's my thing. What was your favorite?
The
Sorry.
beam.
Really? Oh, wow. Oh, that was my least favorite. The floor was mine.
Really? Well, the floor was so fun because we got to dance and have music.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so
Same here.
this is further emphasizing my point. Of course you were a gymnast. So she recently discovered this idea of the gymnosophists in ancient Greece. Have you heard of the gymnosophists?
No.
So the gymnosophists were gymnasts who had very high level kinesthetic intelligence and acrobatic prowess. They were also the mystics who held the wisdom. And they were the ones who the royalty would call in to like brainstorm, right? And to get clear on truth. And so there were correlations made between kinesthetic intelligence and tracking our bodies in space the way we do as gymnasts, and also having that expansive intellect. And then last week, I interviewed Joe Atwell on the Masonic Zionists, and he was saying how Maccabee and Balfour and those guys came in to squelch the Greek gymnasium culture and drive people more towards this Zionism, which was more mental and taking the body out of it. So I'm starting to understand it feels deliberate. That they've separated our bodily awareness, our bodily intelligence from every other piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a huge piece.
It's massive, and more and more I notice the most expansive thinkers that I know in my life were or are high-level athletes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, where does the semantics come in to your work with somatics?
Well, actually, where my mind goes, well, it's where my mind goes. I want to go here if I can.
Yes,
Where the
take us wherever
semantics comes in, the semantics is, somatics, just like we said, that's a piece that's missing, and we need to, drop into our bodies and merge the 1 to 4% with the 95 to 99%, become the biocosmic conduits that we are through our felt sense, present moment experience, self-regulation, etc. So, we are moving into the age of Aquarius. We need a whole new language for these felt sense, this dialogue that happens within us first and foremost through our sensual apparatus, right? So this great cataclysm that we're in is like the breakdown, shakedown, and recalibration and reorientation of all of our meaning-making and sensory apparatuses. And as this happens, and we move into compassion and non-judgment and unconditional love, all of these sensory apparatuses change. We move out of fear, and we move into fluid love. We need a new language for these higher levels of love and fluidity and capacity to communicate and co-create. So that is the leading edge, is how we translate these new places that we are going into language that we can commonly use.
I
So.
appreciate that. And what's popping to mind, and of course, this is, kind of the air I live and breathe around language. But what's popping to mind first is the illusion of fixity that's established through a noun heavy language, as English is, and how by describing emotions or sensations in nouns, it creates the illusion of fixity, right? It creates the idea that these states are permanent, right? Even pathologizing any symptom whatsoever is going to be one of those. Any of the shadow emotions with which we deal, I've noticed for myself, moving from emotions to emotionalings lifts them up, lightens the load, reminds my subconscious mind, we don't have to hang out here. We're a creator. I'm a sovereign creator. I can switch this up whenever I want. Is that anything that's come into your contemplations or teachings around this?
100%. 100%. And all of the reframes that you made when I heard your presentation last June was like, I felt so much somatically like rearranging. Oh, yeah, I do say that. Oh, I say that all the time. Like, oh, these are they called
colloquialisms?
Yeah, right. These, like, how many of them there were? It was just like one after the other, after the other, after the other. I mean, I can feel people cringing around me, right? So as that language is a biological phenomenon. It's one of the courses I teach in the Superpowered Self-Healing Club is communicating with our own innate self-healing capacities. You know, our bodies are always communicating through our images and our affects, our meanings, our sensations, our intuition. There's all these different ways that our bodies are communicating with us and to us and through us. Mm-hmm. And so what is the language that comes when I say prickly? What do you notice? Some people are like, oh, it's a, you know, I think a prickly pear and it's a good thing to eat. And some people go, oh, I remember that time that I got stung by all those bees, right? And then so like language is like, there's so many rabbit holes with language. And it means so finding a new common language that is more parasympathetic, that cultivates deep subconscious safety. So, and that cultivates trust and collaboration and risk taking and innovation and productivity and prosperity. This is all like part of a somatic based whole systems process design model. The deeper the level of subconscious somatic safety, the deeper the level of trust. And that's the thing that's been violated for millennia. We are needing to rebuild our trust within ourselves in our own living systems so that we can then begin to do that with others, quote unquote others.
Yeah, exactly. I so agree. And I just so appreciate the directional slash paradigm shift towards the internal. We know that NASA is fake as fuck, but assuming that it wasn't and it was real, like to waste so much time and resources to get outside, you know, what is supposedly the atmosphere, whatever it is, it seems infinitely more effective and useful for us to go inside, to master our sensations, our somatic intelligence, as well as our language. You know, people who poo-poo my work, which, no judgment.
Who's that?
My
family. Only the people that are threatened by you, I would
sue. My family.
Oh. Yeah,
but they'll too. Say like, that's just semantics, you know? And it's so funny. It's like, that's just semantics. That's everything.
Everything.
It's everything. I was playing racquetball this morning before we hopped on.
I love racquetball. I would love to play racquetball with you.
Oh, I would love to play racquetball with you. A woman asked me at the gym the other day, she saw my racket and she said, are there a lot of women who play racquetball here? I said, I'm the only one I've ever seen. And my game was a little off today. And I said, pause. And I just went inside and remind myself, I remember all my tools. I remember all my skills. I am playing better today than I've ever played in my life. And with my words, I reorganized how my body was responding on the court. And then I played great. And people think these things are like shortcuts or woo-woo magic. And I'm curious to know, like, your concrete experiences to the contrary.
To the, what do you mean to the contrary? I don't know if I understand the question right. I'm a little
Like how
slow.
language does shift somatics, how language does shift our physical orientation and our physiology.
How about this? You know what? You look absolutely stunning today. When I first saw you, when we first came on, I was just like, I love that red. I love how you did your hair. You
Thank you.
know,
Well, that's Luna. Luna
I
cut
love your,
it.
really? And
Yeah.
she cuts hair?
Oh, yeah.
Oh man. All right. I'd love to follow suit and get my hair done. So just noticing what you felt there with those words. What happened with those words that I just used? What happened inside of you when I said, wow, you, when I first saw you look beautiful. The color, the hair.
I felt sparkly and effervescent and uplifted. I noticed my posture kind of lifted up. I felt happier. I felt safer. I felt seen.
Yeah. So that's the somatic. Your somatic opened and lifted and right? So what if it's something like, you know what? Today I'm not feeling very well, and so everything I'm seeing is not. It's just like it's dark,
Right.
and that thing behind you, it's like makes me dizzy, and I'm not sure, you know. So what happens when we use language of, I'm not sure about that color of shirt you're wearing. Did you pick that Right?
It's like, I don't know if I want to spend more time with Pola today.
Yeah, right. So when a system comes with their own projection, and that's all we're ever doing is projecting our inside onto somebody else, we're just projectors, right? And I'm not talking about human design. I'm just talking about the nature of the reality of the meat suit. And we project ill words or dark words or ill feelings. They come through the words, they come through what we say. So when you ask me that question about a language, it's how we use the language, because I could say something, I could use that color red, like it totally rocks my world, or that color red like scares the shit out of me because it reminds me of this, right? So it's so volatile. It's a difficult question to answer because context is everything. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it's and it's also reminding me how easy it is to be generous to other with our words, to make other people feel safe, feel seen, feel accepted, feel lovely. And I definitely look forward to humanity picking up on that and sharing that generosity.
It feels like the bifurcation again. There's those of us, you know, we have some amazing colleagues and shared friends, and they're just getting more and more elevated and more resolved and more light filled and more loving and more powerful, right? And they're emanating more and more light. And then there's the other people in our life that are just like they're falling off.
Yeah.
You know, last week in the full moon, well, I let go of several people in my life. I'm like, wow, you know what? That's so toxic. I don't want to be in a relationship like that anymore, even if you are a relative. I'm not going to kick you out. If you need something, then you know, I'm here for you. But as far as like any kind of right, so it's just like then there's the people that are spiral, they're not here to trailblaze the transition. They're not here. Their souls didn't contract for that. No wrong, not bad. I'm not going to pathologize you because you've got some super toxic behavior that it doesn't feel good when it's being projected onto me. But I have a choice to say that, you know, I'm moving towards light-filled relationships, and I'm not spiritually bypassing none of that. We need to do our own work in order to, you know, increase our coherency.
That does it for the first half of my conversation with Pola Pratt. As you are inspired to tune in to the second half, you can find that over on both my Patreon and Locals communities. Those addresses are dannycats.locals.com and patreon.com/ Danny Katz. At both communities, for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half conversations, plus oodles of bonus content, plus that warm, fuzzy feeling that comes along with supporting a woman who sometimes records podcasts, writes books, and does all the things. Also reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at dannykatz.com. And thank you so much for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. I will see you over on the Locals and the Patreon. Have a rockin' day.